Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. And you want to keep that number handy because I'll be giving away a medium-sized two-topping pizza from Cordello's Pizza a little bit later in the show, just in time for lunch. Cordello's location, 1700 East Thompson Boulevard here in Ventura. And we'll be giving that away to the third caller a little bit later in the show. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is changing your perception. Each of my guests will change our perception about his or her subject. My first guest is a political pollster with an uncanny record for accuracy. He's examined the recent populist movement in America and has written about it in his book titled Mad as Hell, How the Tea Party Movement is Fundamentally Remaking Our Two-Party System. We'll discuss his findings. My second guest is a professor at Cal Lutheran University right here in Ventura County. She's a medical sociologist whose research has focused on sexual health. We'll investigate Governor Rick Perry's controversial decision to vaccinate Texas schoolgirls with Gardasil and explain what the decision means for those girls and their parents. My third guest is one of the country's top leadership coaches to corporate CEOs. He's distilled his knowledge on concentration and execution into a very simple system. We'll discuss that system in his book, 18 Minutes, Find Your Focus, Master Distraction, and Get the Right Things Done. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Scott Rasmussen is the founder and president of Rasmussen Reports, and he is a political analyst, an author, a speaker, and he's been such since 1994, and as I said, he's an independent political pollster. If it's in the news, it's in our polls, is more than just a company slogan. It's the way that Scott really runs that business. Scott translates numbers into meaningful analysis and commentary about current events, underlying trends, and the questions that Americans are curious about. He's a frequent guest on Fox News, CNBC, BBC, The Colbert Report, just to name a few. He's the author of Mad as Hell, How the Tea Party Movement is Fundamentally Remaking Our Two-Party System, and also In Search of Self-Governance, and he has several columns published in the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, and all of the major publications that you can imagine. Scott did his first radio commercial at the age of 7, and he considers a career highlight the opportunity to work closely with hockey legend Gordie Howe. Oh, yeah, by the way, Scott and his father have a claim to fame. He and his father founded the cable sports network ESPN, which they sold their controlling interest in 1984. Welcome to the show, Scott. How are you today?
I'm doing great. It's nice to be with you.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you. And just on behalf of my listeners, let me thank you for ESPN. What a great idea. And the rest of us sports junkies of the world, we're thankful not only for the sports channel, but also for the term sports junkie, which I know that you were the one who founded that term. So congratulations to you on that.
Thank you very much.
All right. Now, let's dive into your new career, which is a researcher, a pollster. And your research shows that there's a widening gulf between the beliefs and the attitudes of the political elite and those of mainstream America. The Tea Party movement has been dismissed by the mainstream politicians and also by the media with such pejorative labels as teabaggers, crazy, wingnut, whack job, astroturf, et cetera, et cetera. You know all of the terms. And as you point out, though, it's not so easy to be dismissive of the Tea Party. I mean, the Tea Party is made up of three very distinct groups. What are those three groups that sort of coalesce to become the Tea Party as we know it?
Well, you know, you have to go back a little bit and take a look at what the Tea Party movement is. It is not a single organization that was run by Washington that has typical political ties. And in fact, right now, the Tea Party is different than it was when we first wrote this book. It's different than it will be in a year. And the reason for that, very, very simply, is it is a collection of thousands of groups. At this point, what the Tea Party movement really stands for are people who are believing that our government needs to be spending less, be more fiscally conservative, and secondly, that the government needs to listen to the people a little bit. When the movement began, there were a number of Democrats in it. But today, as we've gotten a little further along in the process, the Democratic Party has demonized the Tea Party so much that hardly any Democrats are a part of it. As I said, that's different than when we first put the book together. This is a changing organization. And I think the most significant thing about it is that the Tea Party movement could go away tomorrow, but the ideas that are driving it would still reshape our political process.
And that's the point that I want to drill down on, and I'm glad that you made that distinction, because in your answer, you were using the Tea Party and the movement interchangeably. Is the Tea Party really a political party, or is it more, in fact, a movement, a state of mind of the American populace today against Washington and big government?
It's a state of mind. It's a movement, and it's probably the loudest part of our political landscape at this point in time. When it is effective, it does so because it taps into concerns that most Americans share. So even a number of people who would never consider themselves a Tea Party activist or a Tea Party movement person might hold a belief that we need less government spending. In fact, 55% of Americans believe that cutting government spending would help the economy. 59% want to see the deficit reduced primarily through spending cuts. It's when they tap into those themes that the Tea Party movement comes alive. And there's something to this that needs to be brought in. This isn't something that just happened last year. This isn't a fluke. It's not about President Obama. The last time that government spending went down in America was 1954, the same year that Elvis Presley recorded his very first single.
Uh-huh.
And ever since then, voters have been voting for candidates who promised to cut taxes and spending. And just about every election, Barack Obama did the same thing. And yet, despite all those candidates getting elected, spending went in the other direction. People were frustrated. It boiled over when we had the bailouts in the fall of 2008, the most hated piece of recent legislation. And then, of course, Rick Santelli had his rant, and the Tea Party movement was off and running.
Well, it's funny that you should mention Rick Santelli. Rick has been a guest on this show in the past. How closely tied is Rick Santelli to the Tea Party movement, or at least to voicing the anger that many Americans feel against big government?
He was a catalyst. He put things into words that people were feeling. And again, this is an important role. He and the bailouts are what caused this frustration to boil over. A comparison I might make is in history, we all learned about the shot heard around the world at Lexington. Well, that didn't really begin the American Revolution. It just tapped into something that had been brewing for decades. And then a little over a year later, Thomas Jefferson penned the Declaration of Independence, and he articulated views that were held by the American people.
And
we see the same pattern time and time again, and that's where Rick Santelli is. He didn't create it. He didn't make this happen, but he did give voice to a lot of frustration.
All right. Well, my guest is Scott Rasmussen, author of the book Mad as Hell, How the Tea Party Movement is Fundamentally Remaking Our Two-Party System. And I want to get to the tagline, or at least to the secondary title of your book, about how this is remaking our political system. I know that it's remaking our political discussions, but do you foresee that the Tea Party is going to propose their own candidate, a third-party candidate, for the 2012 election?
I don't think that will happen. Doug Schoen, my co-author, is much more convinced that there will be a third-party option in 2012. What I believe, though, is that the Republicans in Washington are finding the Tea Party very uncomfortable. What they are learning is they're not just Republicans who are mad at Barack Obama. The Tea Party activists are also very disappointed with the Republican leadership in Washington. And it's forcing them into some uncomfortable discussions. It created havoc in a few 2010 Senate races. And it is something where I think you have to say it's shaping the discussion largely because these are voters who are not reverting to support their party after Election Day. They are still demanding that their candidates hold true to what they promised.
Which brings up an interesting point then, Scott. If this is not along party lines and so forth, is this going to be a resurgence of political activism, either on the left or on the right, as a result of these deeply entrenched feelings that many Americans feel?
Yes, there is an increased level of engagement and activity, a lot of it from the sense that, gee, we have to protect ourselves from what the government might do. There is a majority of view in America now that the government, which was created to be a protector of individual rights, is now more of a threat to those rights. And so people are getting engaged, but a lot of them aren't sure quite what to do. There's a big sense of people correctly believe something is wrong. They want to do something about it. They love their country, and they're not sure how to be effective in it. And quite frankly, if they get involved in a traditional political campaign, they probably come away more skeptical than they went into it.
Sadly true. My guest is Scott Rasmussen. Scott, do most Americans feel that the government is the enemy? I mean, they look at the economic collapse, the bank and the automaker bailouts that we had, and just the general failure to pull us out of this current recession. Is the government the enemy here?
The enemy is too strong a term at this point in time. But 6 out of 10 Americans still agree with Ronald Reagan that government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. There is a belief that it has gotten out of control. And I think the way I would put it is our government was designed to play a supporting role in a self-governing society. It was there to protect people, to make sure that rules were followed. It was not put there to rule over a nation. And right now there's a big feeling that, in fact, it is trying to rule over us rather than support self-governance.
All right, fair enough. Scott, you write that what more and more Americans see when they look at the traditional media, that's me and others like me, is an apparatus that has continually missed the big political stories altogether, or misunderstood them, or attempted to dismiss them until events made ignoring them absolutely impossible. Now, that's a very strong indictment. What do you mean by that?
Well, it is very clear if you go back through the Tea Party story itself, or if you go back to other changes that have taken place, you can go back to the Reagan era and other times, when reporters were so wedded to the storyline of Republicans versus Democrats, the traditional political analysis, they never treated things seriously. Arlen Specter was a senator from Pennsylvania. As soon as he came out in support of the stimulus package, we did some polling showing him in extraordinary trouble, not only statewide, but also within his own party. Those polls were dismissed. We were laughed at. They said, obviously, Arlen Specter has done the right thing. He is going to be rewarded by his constituents. Well, he eventually dropped out of the Republican Party because he couldn't win there. He did win a Democratic primary and then was defeated on Election Day. And the reason it was missed, the Tea Party anger, the frustration with what he had done was so strong, but it didn't fit the storyline that they were seeing in Washington.
All right. And you go on to write that the Tea Party movement is a never-before-seen center that has begun to crack under the pressure of hardcore, aggressive populism from the political left and from the political right. So is the Tea Party a true bottom-up movement, and can we really move forward with the Tea Party if we don't have any economic recovery, Scott?
Look, the Tea Party movement is an authentic grassroots effort. It is not something that began as a political organization. That is both its strength and its weakness. It is energized people. And yes, it will continue to grow along with other public frustration as long as the economy doesn't recover, and I believe it will continue beyond that. I think it's also important to, and I try to go to great lengths to make this clear, the Tea Party is not the entire sum total of people who are frustrated in this country with the way things are going. More than a half of all voters believe, in fact, almost 7 out of 10 voters believe that the federal government has become a special interest group, that government and big business work together against the rest of us. Most of those people who hold those views do not belong to the Tea Party, but they support those attitudes when the Tea Party can tap into them.
All right. My guest is Scott Rasmussen, author of the book Mad as Hell. Now, Scott, I know that you're a pollster, but I'm going to ask you to make a prediction based on your survey results. You say that the Tea Party has energized people for movement, but
right. Energy
by itself doesn't really manifest into anything. So how do you see the Tea Party movement, first of all, influencing the 2012 elections, and then how do you see it morphing as time goes forward?
The first part of that is it is very difficult to see how a Republican nominee can get there without having at least some kind of support from within the Tea Party. It doesn't necessarily have to be the most enthusiastic. The Tea Party movement doesn't get to pick their candidate and say you're the Republican nominee. But someone like a John Huntsman, who really would have no connections there, is going to struggle. So it will have an influence on the nominee, and it will have an influence on the enthusiasm level. In terms of where it goes, that depends on how politicians respond. You know, if political leaders, if the next president or if reelected Barack Obama truly addressed the core concerns of the movement, well, it would begin to disappear as an organized force. If, on the other hand, both parties decide that they need to move away from the Tea Party, then it will become, you know, an even louder and more entrenched organization.
My guest is Scott Rasmussen, author of the book Mad as Hell, How the Tea Party Movement is Fundamentally Remaking Our Two-Party System. Scott, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, Mad as Hell?
First thing is, the Tea Party is not a partisan group. It's certainly more identified with Republicans now because Democrats have shunned it, but they do not look at themselves as an adjunct of the Republican Party. Secondly, it's not really a top-down organization. It is thousands of independent groups. Some of them share different views on social issues. Some of them share views on different issues, but they have a couple of core principles that hold them together.
All right, great. Now, Scott, if people like what they hear, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, they can always go to RasmussenReports.com, R-A-S-M-U-S-S-E-N, reports.com. They can also follow me at Twitter.com/RasmussenPoll. The book is available in bookstores and at Amazon and all the other places that you normally buy books.
Including our own Bank of Books right here in Ventura. Two locations to serve you, 7488 East Main Street and 2682 East Main Street, both in Ventura. Scott, it has been a very illuminating discussion. Thank you so much for being my guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
I'll look forward to it. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.